episode number 152 of these. 152 of We Talk Comics. It's unbelievable. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. I almost called myself the Chief Defender of the Faith there, but that's Brett.
That's me.
And then we have the man who will never graduate, apparently, beyond being a cup reporter, Keith. And that's right. And the man, and the man without a nickname, because damn it, he doesn't even need one. And that's Chris.
Hey-o.
And this episode is titled, this is very cleverly titled this week. It's entitled, for 152, it's titled, Chris's Picks. And the reason why, Chris picked the books.
I thought we were going to call it New 152.
New 152. Well, now we
are. I like that better.
New 152. This episode is called New 152 because that's much better. Chris, you did the picks. So what did you pick and why the hell did you pick them?
But before we get to the picks, can we talk a little bit about the announcement made today that Marvel is doing a month of covers devoted to prostate cancer? Did anyone else just, before they saw the images, just sort of shudder in?
I saw just a little preview image of Iron Man leaning forward. And I'm like, I don't think I want to click on this.
I didn't even know. So.
I strongly support the idea behind this, but I honestly don't have the courage to look at any of the images.
I just couldn't believe it.
We're all in our 40s. Like, you should be checked. Talk to your doctor if you're over 40, and pretty much most of our audience is.
Hey, last time I'm at the doctor, it's for my checkup, my whatever, and I roll over on my side and start to make myself available, and the doctor goes, no, has anything changed since last time? I went, no. Then we don't need to do that. I'm like, am I that repugnant?
you're the too doctor's scared. Not,
the doctor's like, I'd rather he has cancer than stick my finger anywhere. So apparently that's good news for you guys, though. If you've done it, nothing's changed. You don't need to do it again.
So the question
or I have
is,
I have a really bad doctor.
Is like Squirrel Girl, does Squirrel Girl get a prostate cancer? Or is that just an all-male thing?
Actually, that was one of the first questions I asked. The four covers that have been announced, all-male stars. So there's...
and then the next question, does Doctor Strange make house calls for this?
Honest to God, I may have to look at them just to prevent the image of what the Ant-Man cover could be from becoming fully realized in my mind.
Either Doctor Strange finding something in your cavity, you know, like, oh, look, it's an alternate universe in here.
Now, you're getting ready. There you are. You're getting ready for the test. And they're like, the nurse pokes her head in and says, Doctor Strange is unavailable. His partner, Dr. Doom, will be in momentarily.
Oh, man. Can you imagine Reed Richards doing test on somebody? It's just like, shoop. Actually, that'd be the easiest prostate exam ever.
I mean, he's not a medical doctor. So no. So he'd just be doing it, you know, as a hobby. But
he can do it, like, through the mouth, too.
Maybe my doctor was just worried about how anxious I seemed, but honestly, it was just, I wanted to get it over and done with, that's all.
I just wanted it, but...
I was like, oh, here we go. Not like, yay! Oh, wow.
Chris, thanks for ruining... Thanks for ruining...
Anybody else have a... Have a good exam doctor story, or should we talk comics?
Let's talk comics, man. just to keep anyone out from imagining the horrible things I did with these alt covers, it's just a little banner at the bottom of the comic. There's There's no specific art to this particular event.
There almost couldn't be, I'll be honest. That's get yourself, for gosh sakes, get yourself checked though. That's all I can tell my listeners.
Well, once apparently.
Just the once. And then and then if anything changes.
Yeah.
What's the anything in that story, Mo?
She goes, have you been going to the bathroom more? I'm like, I don't think it's possible to go more at my age.
Am I supposed to keep a record of that?
Yeah, exactly. Next time I'll mark it on my phone.
I do like a good Excel graph.
I prefer a pie chart for this myself.
A P chart.
Welcome to We Talk Comics new format, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining
us. Welcome to We Talk Prostate Cancer. Awesome.
We Talk Prostate. It's a good title show.
Yeah. No, we're sticking with New 51, 152, I think. That's a winner. Chris, what are the books, please?
What are the books? Well, first up, we have from Boom Entertainment, Last Stand, written by Kurt Sutter, creator of Sons of Anarchy and Caitlin Kittredge, art by God. Jesus.
This is going well.
We're in trouble.
Just make up a name.
written by Jesus Hervez. I apologize.
New rule. If you don't think you know how to pronounce it, it's by Ron Lim.
No. I just had the giggles left over from the prostate talk, and then we hit the Jesus thing, and yeah, okay. So, what do you guys think of this book?
Wait, announce the other three books first, and then we'll.
Okay. We're also going to be talking about Usagi Yojimbo, number 155. Bebop and Rocksteady, Destroy the Universe, number 4. And Grumpy and Pokey, number 5. Grumpy Cat and Pokey, number 5.
It's important you gave that one last, you know, that way the listeners really have something to look forward to.
Yeah, we don't want them jumping off before we get to Grumpy Cat and Pokey.
Yep.
Well, Chris, what did you think of Last Stand?
Whatever the hell it's called. He's still reading Grumpy Cat and Pokey.
It's a pretty thick read.
I'm still there.
Hey,
I'm waiting for somebody to say something.
I was gonna ask you, what do you think of it?
I was really, really excited about this book, and then I read it.
And you read it?
I was like, yeah, that's not an answer.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I mean, this, I was excited because I do like Sons of Anarchy, and I rave about the Sons of Anarchy comic book all the time. I really thought I was going to like this, especially when I found out there was going to be Nazis and demons involved. But unfortunately, I found about page 6 it fell apart. Do you guys agree with me?
No, you know what? I had a very opposite reaction. First off, the story is about an ex-Vietnam, no, not Vietnam, but an ex-war vet who is having trouble adjusting to society.
Trouble?
He's in trouble with tribbles to adjusting to society. And he, I guess, does he die? I guess he dies. Doesn't he die?
He dies.
Yes. Either way, he takes a bullet in the head. So
that's right. He shoots himself in the head. A key scene. So obviously stuck with me. He kills himself, and then he has the opportunity to redeem himself by chasing demons and go like this. There's demons and there's time travel and there's all this stuff. But it seems the person who is going after them, you don't really know if that person is who's sending him after people. You don't know if that person is also evil or not, because that person also is a demon apparently. So it's just a bunch of demons apparently attacking other demons and using him. But he goes in the past, somebody who can find demons tells him then how to kill him, but he doesn't have the tools to kill him. But his promise, he'll have the tools in the future to kill him. but the truth is, like the first six pages or whatever, for me, I'm sitting there going, God, I've seen this before. A troubled guy who's an alcoholic, who's depressed, and it's in, you know, first person narration style. And it's like, man, it's got this. But as the story went on, I actually kind of found that story intriguing. I kind of liked that story. And I thought it was, I liked the dialogue and I liked the pacing. And I thought this is the type of book I'd read. I mean, I had the opposite reaction. I was hating the first few pages and then liked it more as it went on. So maybe I'm the only one.
Yeah, you're the only one. I agree with Chris in this case. Because again, I think that once Chris, even just with your little message, Chris, when you put it out there for us, I thought to myself, yes, this could be really good. I'm excited for something that feels different. But even like none of it felt different to me. Even just the demons and stuff like that, it all seemed like it was compiled from a bunch of different sources put together. And there was just too much going on. This was actually something that I thought could have
taken it sort of a promised couple of a issues. Noir book, and we got Hellboy.
Yeah. But that's it's why just, I liked it's just it so much happened.
To me, and to me it was... The noir part for me was the part that's I'm like, God, I've been here. This is so boring. I've done this. And when I went into the Hellboy stuff, because maybe it's a matter of how much of this type of book you read in the past. I can't say I've read a lot of this type of book, and maybe that's my advantage.
I really love the art in this book. I'd like to see more by this guy.
This guy, say his name.
By Jesus.
Ron Lim.
Yeah. Jesus Ron Lim. This is the first thing, even co-written by Kurt Sutter in comics, as far as I know. And it suffers from the thing that every non-comics writer does in their first go, which is massively overwriting. I have one page, two-thirds of the way through the book here, where there's eight panels and 29 word balloons.
But how many words in the word balloons?
It's like the page is like, it might as well just be spot art on the page. And there's another one, like a couple pages later with 23 word balloons in eight panels. So again, it's just walls of text, which you often find with people getting into the form. I liked it okay, but I'd have to agree, it's not doing anything new. But I dug the art,
style. I was a little relieved that it wasn't just a leftover television property. You can tell it was written for comics rather than, oh, this will be a great little HBO thing or something like that. It was. I don't think you could do this on the screen.
The way that they, for instance, revealed the final character, and we've ruined it for people already, but the way they revealed the final character, or the character who sent him on this mission is a demon, was done in a very comic book way. That's taking advantage of the medium. Yeah. Actually, I think Caitlin Kittredge did a good job actually of minimizing his overwriting. Like I thought, I thought the pacing was good. So, and I mainly attributed that to her. I think she'd be somebody very interesting to talk to about this book in the creative process.
I'd agree.
The interesting thing is when, like, I didn't realize it was as horribly overwritten as it was. When I go back and just look at the comic book now, I can see that there is a ton of panels going on there.
Well, maybe and it isn't so, then, Brett. Maybe if it doesn't read that way to you, then just going back and seeing a vision, like, it's all about the pacing and the flow.
Yes, but that being said, I was bored for most of it. So well,
there's that.
So I wasn't actually paying attention to half of what was going on because I was just wanting the book to be finished. And it's funny because when you started talking about it, I had completely forgotten about pretty much every part, other than the fact that I didn't like it really much after page 6, until you started talking about it, and then it's just like, oh, yeah, that's what happened. I remember now. I had kind of forced it out of my mind. With
yet
everything.
I forgot that he shot himself, so that is a...
I like that they're going after Nazis, though. So, you know, there's always points for you know, beating up and shooting Nazis.
Nobody that's true. Nazis suck.
I did have a giggle when he talks about, like, you know, real soldiers and real vets are like Captain America. That was funny.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
That's unintentional, but totally
that was funny. When I read that like 3 times, going, "What's he trying to really say here?" Because he obviously didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe he lives in the same universe. Did we ever think of that? We don't know yet.
I just assumed he had seen the movie.
All right, let the oral fellatio start. Let's talk about Usagi Yojimbo 155. Wait.
What did you just say? Let the what start?
The fellatio start.
Oral fellatio?
Yeah.
As opposed to?
What other type of fellatio have you been experiencing?
Well, as a fan of Slash Marad.
Three people in the world got that and all are on this podcast.
That's fantastic. Are you looking fuzzy right now? That's
the comic book you guys need to try and bin dive for.
Oh god.
Not till it's finished.
It is finished.
Is it?
Oh yeah, it finished on time. It was 6 issues, always 6 issues.
Wow.
Usagi Yojimbo 155. I love this book. It's been so long since I've jumped back into Usagi Yojimbo. This book sort of hit me in the back of the skull. That's like, why haven't you been here for all these issues? I stopped probably 10 years ago and haven't picked up a Usagi Yojimbo book since. And reading this, I went, oh yes, I used to love this book. I wonder why I stopped. I'm glad I picked number one in a 3-issue arc. I'm in for the rest of the arc. The mystery was has me wondering who the killer is. Great book. Would others like to say nice things about this book?
Chris, can I go next?
Yep.
Okay. Chris, I'd like to say ditto.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's funny because Mo and I, we couldn't help ourselves. We were talking about this and we said almost the exact same
thing. In the car ride on the way to work, literally, I think that what you just said was our exact word-for-word conversation. Every single point you hit is the point that we hit in the car. Because we like the book so much, we usually, like, we'll save it for the podcast. And I was like, I'll save it for the podcast, but Usagi Yojimbo. The thing I liked was, I liked, for instance, number one, that we came in on a number one in a 3-issue story arc. That was a pleasant surprise. And then I'm like, why haven't I been reading this? Like, it's so good. It's perfect comic telling. It's the medium of comic telling, so perfectly done. I'm like, this is great. This is, I love this. And I can't think of why it is I ever stop reading it, except for the fact that I always know it'll be there.
Yeah, and so it's perpetual. Like, Usagi Yojimbo has existed in some form or another for, I mean, at least 30 years?
Almost our entire lives, and those are long freaking lives.
You know, I mean, and it's still great storytelling, and he used Mendicant. So, I mean, yes, that's...
I started laughing as soon as that word came out, because I had Groove flashbacks.
I really enjoyed it, Chris, and I want to say thank you for bringing this one in, because I had never read a Usagi Yojimbo comic before.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, not once.
I just assumed it was required reading.
Oh, well, you haven't read it in 10 years. It can't be that required.
True.
You had just read Boris the Bear number one.
Dodge it for a decade. I did read Boris
the Bear, yeah. Boris the Bear number one, where he kills Usagi Yojimbo, and just figured that that was the end of it.
It's true, though, isn't it? There's only, like, two. Like, when you look at these, I don't know, funny animal properties that are so huge in the 80s, there's only two that have survived, and it's like this and TMNT as far as pretty much ongoing and always being out there. And TMNT is this massive thing, and then this is, like, so many people haven't read it, and it's like I wonder how he keeps making a living doing it, but maybe Gru pays the bills, but doing the coloring on that. But it's like it's great. It's always been great. It's still great.
Just because I was kind of curious, I flash back to some earlier issues, and I do think his art is a little bit more reminiscent of Sergio Argonis now than it originally was, which I am now interested in going to seeing that progression over the 150 some issues.
Well, but I mean, who's to say where it, like, did it start with this 150 issues, or did it start with some of the Fantagraphics book or the Mirage Studios? Because he went for a while with Mirage Studios before joining up with Dark Horse Comics.
I think we've legacy numbered all those in now, I believe. I'm not 100% on that,
though. I don't think so, but could be wrong, but it's...
Well, 100 and 150 issues is what? Like, I mean, that's only like 13 years.
Yeah,
Be. And it's November 1984 that he first started.
Wow. Yes,
yeah, probably... I'd say he's produced a monthly book for the majority of that. No, it's just
Dark Horse started in April of 1996 with issue one. So yes, there's well over 250 issues of Usagi Yojimbo out there.
Now, that being said, I'm pretty sure that Dark Horse has the reprint rights to those. I do believe, because I seem to remember buying, and this is the problem with, you know, perhaps the problem with digital. I remember buying the Dark Horse digital sale where everything was half off. They do that a couple times a year, buying a bunch of books. And I'm pretty sure I bought some Usagi Yojimbo. And yeah, I'm pretty sure it was some of the older stuff that I bought. But again, because it's not physically in front of me, I actually tend to forget that I bought it and don't ever get around to reading it. That's the problem with digital. It's like the amount of books I haven't read in digital is way more than the amount of books I haven't read physical, even though that's how I'm buying most of my stuff right now.
I think we have answered the question of what do you give a first-time comic reader? I think this book is it.
Well, if there's over 200 issues of it, I mean, I walked in knowing, like, probably I read a short story or something along the way, but like, I know nothing about this character.
You knew nothing, but did you find the learning curve all that deep?
No, it's broad enough as far as the. Not the stereo, the archetype is what the word I'm looking for. The archetype of the Ronin, and he's helping a friend solve a mystery. Like, there's not anything special I needed to know going into this.
No, you're not talking about 30 years of, you know, of collective, stuff that's going on.
Yeah. Which is good storytelling. You know, that's the thing, right? And that's kind of something I think, like, say, comic books are missing right now that keeps them from growing. You're right. I think this is a good book to give to somebody, to a first time reader, because, yeah, I think it's, like I say, I think it's perfect use of the medium. And the fact that somebody like Keith can come in and just know the archetype, but you still understand little nuances of the character you get to know. But again, you get to know it very organically through the story and the actions and the dialogue. Nothing's forced. It's just, damn, it was good. Chris, thank you so much.
Yes. Well, let's continue the roll with the funny animals and move on to Bebop and Rocksteady Destroy the World, written by Ben Bates and Dustin Weaver, script by Dustin Weaver, and too many artists to mention. 11 artists on this book.
Wow. Chris, why did you pick it?
I picked it because I have tons of Teenage Mutant Ninja people around me. Not friends, but, you know, adjacent people that think they talk comic books and think I'll understand when they talk Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That was the single most condescending thing ever said on this podcast.
And I'm on this show.
Keith, you just think you suck.
Damn, I'm gonna have to up my game.
After that, you're gonna have to
go to night school to talk comics, man. I am not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
But they've been raving about this book, so I thought I'd bring it to you guys to have an opinion, to maybe diss on this book a little bit with me. Unfortunately, I read it and liked it. I got some giggles out of this book, which is surprising since I'm jumping issue 4 of 5. But I actually liked the dynamic, the witty flow between the characters was there. I enjoyed that bit much better than some of the witty buddy banter than in, say, Red Hood and the Outlaws. I kind of like this book. And considering there's 11 artists, I did not notice a huge difference between all the art, but something had to go wrong to have that many artists on this book. I don't know.
Now, Chris, I take issue with you just out of nowhere slamming the work of Scott Lobdell.
Oh, you do? Do you?
No,
didn't you slam him 2 weeks ago?
Not really.
All right, I expect you two to face off in a Twitter feud.
If I'm gonna fight, it's not gonna be over Scott Lobdell. I'll be honest. Who's next in this thing?
I want to hear what somebody else has to say first. I'm still trying to digest what Chris had to say.
I really like the pages by Nick Batara from the Manhattan Projects and God Hates Astronauts. I like his work a lot. I had no idea what was going on in this book, like, at all. I was never into TMNT, so I don't know the characters at all. And it took me probably half the issue to figure out there was some kind of dimension hopping or time travel thing involved. I kind of went back a couple of times trying to, like, piece it together. So
good luck.
I got some of that.
There was no chance.
But yeah, and you know what this book was missing? Previously on.
and a rundown of the characters.
There's no, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it took me a couple of goes to figure out that, like, the guy Bebop was talking to was also
Bebop was
a human, and etc. I just was completely lost.
You mean the purple mohawk wasn't enough to tip you off at all?
I don't know because
one has a mohawk and the other one has a mohawk, but it's slicked down, so you wouldn't actually. Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't know these guys have been changed from humans into monsters. I thought they were I thought he was a mutated warthog. That's all the turtles are. So, is that like the deal? He was a guy that was turned into a warthog.
Yes.
All right. See, there's an integral piece that I did not have that would have cued that the human guy was the same.
I don't think it would have made this book make any sense for you. Don't get me wrong.
It wouldn't have, because I knew that and it didn't make any damn sense to me. You know, it took a while. I here's the thing for me. Like, no, this book made no sense. It was really silly. I couldn't imagine, even if I read from issue 1 through 5, I still think that at the end of it, I would have no clue what actually happened. But at the end of it all, I feel like this will come back in some way and be referenced by us, you know, for a while, just because it's that odd a book.
Oh, it's super strange, and it's, like, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, even if I had read the first 3 issues, I don't think I'd know what's going on. But I mean, I'm a Dustin Weaver fan. I like Dustin Weaver's work. But so, I mean, I don't actually think this is poor storytelling. Like in the Transformers last week, we were talking about, I was like, we have like all these characters and there's so much story and we don't know what's going on and it's poor storytelling. I actually think this is on purpose, the style of this book. I think it's supposed to be this like crazy kinetic acid trip feel of a book. Like,
you are not meant to stop and think about any of this.
No, it's like drop a couple. This is silly, and you know,
yeah,
that's have yourself an evening. You know, like,
I mean, the mix of artists, like, and the sheer number of artists is definitely leans toward that,
and the sheer number of bebops that show up and rocksteady. Yeah. And it's like, so as it goes on, it's like, okay, well, I'm not missing. Like, I didn't think I was missing anything because I'm getting what it's supposed to be, and I laughed a couple times. It's just not the type of story that is my thing. That's all. But I don't think it was actually badly done.
It's insane.
It's insane. It's very insane.
I want the artist edition of Nick Pitara's 4 pages, just full size, just those 4 pages.
I think we can say this. If we're talking about a gateway into comics, this is not the book.
Actually, what I want is their elevator pitch for the entire thing, you know, because that would be a long elevator ride, I'm guessing.
No, I think it goes like this. Lots of shit happens. Yeah,
that's the elevator pitch. Actually, it's just the title. It's Bebop and Rocksteady destroying everything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure starring Bebop and Rocksteady. That'd be my pitch for this book.
Yeah.
Well, every pitch says on acid at the end of it, so that's kind of just...
Oh, yeah.
It's the most cliche. Like, right after it's this meets this, on acid is the most cliche thing you could say about the pitch.
Yes, that is true.
Alrighty, should we move on to Grumpy Cat and Pokey number 5?
Damn right.
I've been champing at the bit since.
Do we? Because if we do, then people might not stick around to the end of the podcast. We save this. No, okay, Chris, why did you pick Grumpy Cat and Pokey?
Well, for a while now, it's been known on the podcast or among my friends who share this podcast with me that...
Do they know how to talk comics?
Grumpy Cat is the bane of my existence. And the mere fact that it insults itself to pop up in comic book form, I find a front to geekdom culture. But I mentioned that it was a possibility in our preview files. And Mo, being Mo, that asshole that he occasionally is, jumped on it. And I realized if I did not pick it, I would be teased until the end of time.
Yeah, you said it as a sarcastic joke, like, hey, how about I pick Grumpy Cat?
Yes,
like,
I did.
Dude, there's a Grumpy Cat. I'm like, you have to now. Like, if you don't, I'll be so disappointed. I may cry. Like, I needed you to do this. And then you did.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't just make him cry. That would have been awesome. The humor of that on the podcast.
So, Chris, you're probably the last person who should be talking about this because you already hate Grumpy Cat. Like, it's not fair. Yeah. Chris, you should. Keith, you love some Grumpy Cat.
This book was great.
Really?
There's three little short stories in it. They're super cute. I will say that if you could take Grumpy Cat and Pokey out and put in either Garfield and Odie or Pinky and the Brain, it would be exactly the same book.
I want to watch some Pinky and the Brain now.
you've got a cynical, sarcastic lead character, and then kind of a dim supporting character. So really, it like, and there's probably like a lead character. Rocky and Bullwinkle would be the same story. Like, it's like that dynamic is so common.
It's not just a lead character who's kind of cynical. Like, it's also a lead character who wants to take over the universe. Like, don't forget that part. So, I mean, it's really pretty obvious where they got this from. That said, it was way better than it had any right to be. Literally, I'm reading this like, oh, this is gonna suck, and then I read the first few pages, I'm like, it's not sucking yet, what's going on here? I'm so pissed off right now. I'm not getting the suckitude I was looking for. I'm like, I needed some suck. And then I get on, and the first story is the best of the three, but I'm like, it's pretty, like, it is way better, way more quality than I expected, way better than any right. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I would give this to my kids. I think my kids would like it, but there's stuff in there that the kids wouldn't get that the adults do. I love it when they pull that off properly. Like, I can't believe it. I like Grumpy Cat Pokey.
I just didn't know who Pokey was.
Cares.
I didn't really think that was important. I mean, it's not like Grumpy Cat is a well-established character with me.
How many letters difference is there, Brett, between Pokey and Pinky? How many?
Yeah, you're not really rambling them off.
I'm writing for. It's time for Brett or Chris to go here.
All right, I'll just go, and I am standing by my original opinion. Grumpy Cat and Pokey is not for me. I read this and actually wondered if, you know, they had acquired some leftover Heathcliff scripts and just recolored them.
Heathcliff never had a sidekick, did he?
No,
I don't think so. Heathcliff was a different type of story, but like,
he left the
Keith
house
is absolutely
stuff.
Right. Like, there's no question that this is, I mean, you could insert any number of characters into this script, but again, I'm going to agree completely. This was nowhere near the horror show that I anticipated. I mean, even when I heard that Dynamite was doing Grumpy Cat in the first place, it was just like, what the hell? What company would choose to do Grumpy Cat? And then it's kind of like, oh, well, at least you didn't screw it up.
I will say, like, I mean, Mo mentioned the first story was the best story. That one was written by Ben McCool, who has... This is like so far out of what Ben McCool has written so far, because he was the co-writer of a really amazing Image comic called Pigs,
and Choker with Ben Temple Smith. Really out of his wheelhouse.
Apparently, his wheelhouse is broader than because that was easily the stuff.
But perhaps all he did was just take a Pinky in the Brain script that was lying around and repurpose it.
It's like this: Pinky in the Brain had lots of episodes and no one remembers them.
Yeah.
So especially those ones on the Animaniacs, like no one's seen them. I preferred the art in the second story though. Ken Hazer did the art on the second story. And actually the cats as they're depicted in there, like kind of rounder and chubbier, that looks exactly like my cat. So, I like that story
more.
In that one,
they're walking on 2 feet, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, my cat sometimes does, yeah.
Hey, your cat sometimes does.
My cat sometimes does, yeah.
Drives a car and occasionally.
No, I've got a new cat. I've got a new cat that does occasionally walk.
It's not Toons is the driving cat.
Oh, now that was a comic, dude. I'm so there. There's not enough Saturday Night Live skit comic books.
Are there any?
Yeah, I wonder why.
It must be Coneheads comic at some point.
And Night of the Roxbury needs a comic book.
You know, I feel like there was a Coneheads, but I think it was actually a movie adaptation.
Oh, could be.
I think, because yes, there was Coneheads comic books, but it is a movie adaptation.
If we stop and look stuff up, does that count against our 57 minutes, Brett?
No. Yeah. I think we got lots of time in this one.
It's live from Remulac. It's the Coneheads.
Right, we've done the books. We got lots of time left.
This was fun. I'm going back to find more Grumpy Cat. This is people always complain about
what have I done?
There's nothing for kids. There's nothing that's new reader friendly. There's three stories in this. You can just walk right in. You don't. It's a proper all ages book.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't you find the robot agenda story kind of out of place?
Well, there's only three stories. How out of place could it be?
Yeah, exactly.
I
don't have a perspective of the oeuvre that is Grumpy Cat to know whether it's out of place or not.
Could you lay down some Grumpy Cat continuity, Chris?
like I said, I don't know. Like Usagi Yojimbo is, yeah, it's a book about a rabbit and whatever, but there's lots of violence, but there's like no blood and guts. There's a lot of implied violence, but it's very violent and it's a, like in the actions. Whereas this is, you're right, this is a great book for kids. Absolutely.
Bring some more kids.
I'm just really intrigued by the fact that, like, by questioning how I'm going to find these four issues of the Coneheads now.
You've been just completely derailed.
Ask one of the readers or listeners to send it in. The odds are good.
Well, it's available.
Mail it to Brett.
$19.94, $1.60 for the very fine edition.
Is that on My Comic Shop? Is that where you're looking?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I was just at a big comic sale.
Hey, Brett, I didn't have that on my list. Brett, as long as you're there, look up Slash Maraud for me, will ya?
I'm gonna say probably $1.60. Like, I think everything on there is $1.60.
I'm totally considering making Slash Maraud my choice for a show. nope, Slash Maraud number one is $1.70.
Whoa.
But the rest are $1.35.
Well, we could get all of them for like just over $10.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh.
Is it six or
right? Eight? We'd have to share them around. Six. We could do it and make that an episode. And then, and what Brett's referring to is that next week we're going to do four books again, and then we're going to open up this format a little bit, and it's going to get to be one person will pick and announce for the following week what we'll be doing. They may announce we'll be reading four books like this, or they may new books, or they may announce a complete story arc, or they may announce that we're it's a movie or two, a couple TV shows, or what, like or a topic. Like, it's gonna get a lot more crazy and fun, but we're gonna be keeping it very listener friendly and host friendly.
Yeah, but actually, it's funny because Slash Maraud is one of the few things that I actually kept in my short box.
Wow.
So I still have all six issues of Slash Maraud.
I love that's at least the second time that Brett has said, that's fine, all fine and good, but we're going back to talking about Slash
Maraud. Yeah, fuck you.
Slash Maraud, I wasn't man. Done talking about Slash Maraud.
This is in preparation for him 2 weeks. What is on a Slash Maraud Mania?
On a level of 1 to 10, how weird is Slash Maraud though? Like, because I remember the first time I'm reading it going, Brett gave it to me, and I'm reading it going, this is really good. Holy crap, is this weird?
Dude, we were like, when did this come out? Like 1986, we were what, 13 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're... For us,
I've known you a long ass
for us
time.
At 43.
Well, 42 for me. I'm not
42. Yeah.
You're free.
That's right. But still, for us in our 40s, this is weird. At 13, this was mind-blowingly weird. But we're using up all the good stuff right now.
Well, people are probably completely lost, and hopefully they're going to look this up. But I think the best person to describe the book in a little more detail is obviously Chris. To just tell people why it is that it is what it is.
Alien chest fellatio, psychedelic gumballs, cannibalistic serial killer family house, dinosaurs meets Mad Max.
On acid.
Why didn't somebody make a movie out of this? This would have been so great. Oh, yeah.
Man, and why Blue? That's one of the hottest women in comics ever.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know she has a camel toe in that zoot suit she wears.
See, we really should have grabbed up a whole bunch of back issues of this, because when we do a spotlight on it, we're going to drive up the back price back issue.
It's true.
So much.
The listeners will be asking us for a copy. Right. That way we could have shipped them out to them.
That's so right.
I'd buy as much Slash Maraud as I could, and just for the listeners, and the listeners say, I want to read along with you when you and be able to talk Slash Maraud when you're talking, I'd send this out to them. I would actually do this. I would go out of my pocket. For people, save like 10 complete things, and then I would ship them anywhere across the world for them. If we could do that, I'm serious.
Oh.
Now we
let's go panel by panel through.
I wonder who owns the rights.
They can enjoy it.
DC.
Well, DC may, but I mean, considering it didn't connect on them, it might have been a creator-owned series. maybe Doug Munch has the rights.
They were playing with a lot of creator-owned or like option stuff at that point because they had done.
They were prestige format, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was when they got into doing stuff direct
new format.
New format. Yeah, Prestige was Marvel's. Yeah.
What's the difference?
Prestige was the square bound one, right?
Prestige was square bound, and it was the glossy paper. New format was slightly thicker paper, but it wasn't actually a glossy paper.
But it was more than 24 pages, wasn't it, per book? Like there were
36 pages.
36 pages and a thick, real thick cover too,
The cover, so 32 pages plus the cover, and the cover was a different stock. Because Marvel called it new format. So what did DC call it? They were basically the same thing, deluxe format or something like that.
Yeah, deluxe. I think. Let's see if I can see on the cover. No, it actually doesn't say in this case.
Mm. Were they painted covers? I can't remember. They were painted
No, they're not.
Who did the art?
Paul Gillespie.
Oh, well, there you go. Those two work together a lot, and another awesome artist. Well, yeah, this is obviously we're going to have to fit in. Now, what I'd like to know is how do we somehow retitle this episode to fit in / Moron?
Oh, no, we got to save all the best / Moron stuff for when we actually do it. Because now...
Obviously, now we have to.
We have to, yes. There's no... I mean, / Moron is a book that has, you know... I mean, we've got people tied to a wrecking ball with a fight going on around it. I mean, you know, that's just great stuff.
There isn't a slow point in the limited series.
So stay tuned for the episode, Panel by Panel with / Moron, which is a great title.
Well,
that's a terrific
and you know what? And afterwards, we should try and interview one of the two of them about it, because I bet you they'd love to talk. Somebody wants to talk / Moron with us? What?
And we only want to talk / like, come on the show, Doug Mensch. We're only going to talk / Moron.
He's probably going to be like, oh, can I fly out to you and talk to you about it? Or he can stay at your house, right, Keith?
Oh man! Oh, absolutely. Can we cosplay as / Moron characters?
Oh, first time in my life I wanted to cosplay. I think the thing is, I'd like to. At this point, people are still confused, and I feel like we need to explain the fallacial thing a little better. But I guess and kind of what the look of the aliens is. But I guess we should save it for the actual episode.
Leave them one more.
Well, then I think we're allowed to. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about, or Brett? Are you, no matter what it is, are you gonna follow us back?
I'm done. I'm done with / Moron now. Until we do the show, because we are doing the show. That's just the right one. Now, even on his wiki page, though, it's like notable works: Batman, Cold Blood, Deathlok, Detective Comics, Electric Warrior, Lords of the Ultra Realm, Master of Kung Fu, Moon Knight. And there at the bottom, / Moron.
Mm-hmm. Electric Warrior was his?
Yeah, at least three of those are actually lower, like less known than / Moron. Electric Warrior, what the hell is that?
I had like issue 4 or something back in the days when you get the 3 for $1 bags of comics. I had one issue of Electric Warrior and it seemed like the craziest idea. And then when I found a couple more issues, I'm like, this is terrible. Well,
and it's interesting because he co-created it with Jim Bakey, who I actually have who I have a print signed by, because he's a fabulous artist, but he's very much a cheesecake pinup artist. So
can you name those?
So I'm intrigued.
Brett, can you name all of those again? But this time, give a little space when you do.
All right, Batman.
Heard of it?
just in case.
Heard of that.
Cold Blood.
Nope.
Deathlok.
Yes.
Heard of it.
Detective Comics.
Maybe. No.
Electric Warrior.
Yeah.
Lords of the Ultra Realm.
Wow. Nope.
That was co-created with Pat Broderick. It's 12 issue maxi series.
who was the maniac that was in charge of saying, let's do 12 issues of that? that's good. It doesn't have series, but for God's sakes, we can't stop at 4. We've got it. 12 of Lords of the Ultra Realm.
Oh, sorry, I'm wrong.
Oh, I bet you after 4, they were like, oh man, we wish we had made this 4. The sales of this thing.
It was a 6-issue limited series, but it had a special.
Oh, it was supposed to be 12. It was supposed to be 12. Confused. Yeah, supposed to be 12. And they're like, we're ending it, wrap it up in one big special.
But then he's also got Master of Kung Fu.
Yeah, obviously.
I was kind of worried you wouldn't mention. I didn't hear that the first time around.
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. Co-creator of Moon Knight, right? I believe he co-created Moon Knight.
Maybe he did. Obviously he's got a lot of yeah. Mention artist Don Perlin introduced Moon Knight in Werewolf by Night. Yep.
And he did create Master of Kung Fu, but he popularized the book.
Mm-hmm. Those are finally being collected as well.
Are they?
Yeah, those.
The Comixology editions only have the backup stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they can't actually. I believe the rights problem is that they borrowed some characters from Fu Manchu.
It's Fu Manchu, himself, because he's supposed to be Fu Manchu's son or something.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the stuff they can't reprint. Yeah, so there's. Yeah. But yeah, a bunch of the stuff, like whatever they can reprint, is finally being collected.
But I'm almost equally excited about this, is the fact that he worked with Herb Trimpe on Godzilla and Shogun Warriors.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I love Shogun Warriors. Of course, totally. I was eight, but I loved it.
It is one of the.
But Shogun Warriors was awesome when you were eight.
Yeah, they had the coolest toys that shot things.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
And they were huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was an easy. I have no idea what. I have no memory of the comic other than, you know, robots, like just giant robots.
Yeah.
One time I remember buying like issue 8 or something like that, which was amongst my first comics, and thinking this was the greatest thing ever at that point.
Fighting Dum Dum Dugan and the rest of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
It should have been as popular as Transformers. It just came across like 2-3 years too early, or I guess somehow just didn't connect, but it was great. You know, like I say, at least when I was 8.
All right. I'm writing down episode ideas here. Shogun Warriors.
Oh man. He wrote a book called Cops 1-15. Wow. Electric Warrior.
That's based on the cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it is.
There was a cartoon called Cops?
Yeah, it was a toy line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
Fisher-Price toy line.
Chubby kind of, yeah. They were like...
No idea.
Yeah.
Dude, and again, Pat Broderick. Wow, Pat Broderick was a whore.
They did a lot, yeah.
Or but, they were friends, Brett, one or the other. Or they just got along well.
I love the fact that the 15-issue comic book series based on a Hasbro toy line. But yeah, Electric Warrior, 1-18. Like, 18 issues of that sucker.
You betcha.
What company was that for?
That was DC.
DC, yeah. He wrote that Heroes Against Hunger book. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that book. Oh, yeah, that was...
I remember the cover, you know, because that was one of those DC covers. And Xenobrute, remember that one?
You know what that Heroes... Yep. Against Hunger reminded me of, and that was back when they were doing obviously the Live Aid, and that was in that whole era. And there was the Americans did, the what was this? Oh my God, We Are the World. You know, it was along that whole idea, and I think that it's like that very socially conscious comic book thing. It reminds me of the prostate cancer Marvel.
Hey,
you guys were wondering where I was going with this.
He wrote The Wanderers. Do you remember The Wanderers?
I do. That was like the Legion of Superheroes spinoff.
Yeah, yeah. And art by a friend of the show, for the first issue, friend of the show, Ken Stacey.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what... There were so many of those runs that I would like... I get one or two issues in those cheap bags, and then they would go on to my want list because I was OCD as a small child. And so I would like... I would literally like get 3 issues in a row of Amazing Spider-Man, and then my want list would start with Amazing Spider-Man number 1, 2, 3, 4. So I love that they now restart things because I don't have to go back that far. I think I probably had 4 issues of The Wanderers and never got the whole set. Got 4 or 5 Electric Warrior and realized that it was a bad idea to get the whole set.
Do you guys remember, because it was the same new format as we're talking about, do you remember Outcasts? That was one of my favorite. Ostrander.
Hmm. I don't think I actually read it.
Love that one. Still do. Okay. Never mind. It crossed over with the Warriors. I'm sorry.
Was there any fuzzy fellatio, Chris? Or is this a record for the amount of times we've used the word fellatio, by the way, on We Talk Comics? Or has anybody kept track of that? Anybody got a pie chart or Excel chart of that?
I don't know. It's a pretty common word for us.
Really? Yeah, fellatio and prostate cancer all in the same episode. I mean, yeah, how do you beat that?
We get you coming and going.
We're never gonna have another we're never gonna have another PG rated episode. It's just not gonna happen, is it? We've given up on that.
Well, I'm picking Grumpy Cat as my topic 1 week, so
wait, we just did that.
I'm glad.
No. You guys are reading all of Grumpy Cat. I'm gonna wait until the Grumpy Cat omnibus comes out.
You can't do that. That would beat our homework restrictions.
Yes. Not to mention, Chris, I don't know if you've noticed, but instead of that being a punishment, we'd all be like, "Well, that's awesome. Thanks, Chris."
It won't be too much homework for me. I'll have already read them. Yeah, just a quick review.
It's not like you're saying, oh, I'm going to make everybody read the Bebop and Rocksteady miniseries. Then perhaps it would be a little more like homework.
Never issues 1 or 5 of the miniseries. Yeah. You're only allowed to read issues 2 through 4 of every Bebop and Rocksteady miniseries. Never given any context or closure.
We're at this. Is the horn about to sound?
The horn's pretty damn close, so why don't we wrap this up?
Yeah, okay. I'll just say that.
Hold on, then.
Glad we keep it quite regimented.
I'm just going to say then, last week I said I was a little disappointed in Rebirth, but I loved the detective. The detective, yeah. Was it 937 or 973, or what number was it?
12.
Action is 957 at its higher, so whatever that is.
Yeah, anyways, I love
930 something.
I thought that was great. So anyways, that's all I'm going to say. Other than that, anybody else have anything final to say before we get out of here then? Real quick? That's a no. Okay, we are at We Talk Podcasts. We are We Talk Podcasts is, of course, the website where you can find We Talk Comics. We're always with our friends, Comicosity, as long as they have put up with us. And we keep doing shows like this. That may not be much longer. what else? We got Facebook. We got Twitter. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Music. We're freaking everywhere. I said it before. You're already listening. Freaking, why am I telling you this? Freaks. So take that. Is that a good... Was that professional, guys?
Go team / Marat.
OUT.